Oregon. Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out, but first sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the invention of the first seaworthy log raft. 8 million board feet of lumber, 1 acre of surface area floating down the Pacific coast, to help the state of Oregon build the city of San Diego. I'll tell you that story in a minute here. It was first published on February 19th, 2012, under the headline, First Seaworthy Log Raft Helped Oregon Build City of San Diego. Here we go. Any number of well-meaning people assured Simon Benson that seagoing log rafts were an impossible pipe dream. People had been trying to build them since 1791, when a Maine timberman named James Tupper tried to tow a raft to England and barely got out of the harbor. The first summer squall would tear it apart, break a chain, and it would all be over, they said. They should have known better. Benson, one of history's most gifted amateur engineers, had a strong track record of turning impossible schemes into lucrative realities. Today, Benson is best remembered as the guy who covered the north end of Portland with free drinking fountains, the Benson Bubblers, so that employees doing tough, dangerous work in his Portland mill wouldn't have to choose between drinking beer and drinking nothing for slaking their thirst on their lunch breaks. He's also well known for his efforts to get the Crown Point Vista House and the scenic Columbia River Highway built. But not too many years ago, Simon Benson's name conjured another image in the minds of people along the West Coast. Floating 1 acre cigar-shaped islands made of thousands and thousands and thousands of logs being slowly pulled through 1,100 miles of ocean behind a tugboat from Clatskanie, Oregon to San Diego, California, each with enough lumber to build almost 500 houses. The seagoing rafts were just one example of something Benson had engineered after many others had tried and failed. Benson was originally from Norway and emigrated to the U.S. when he was 16. He'd worked in logging in Michigan, moved out to Portland after the general store he'd established caught fire, leaving him penniless. So he and his family moved to Portland in 1880 and got into the logging business. Now, loggers at that time were using cattle, that is, oxen, to pull the logs out of the woods. With the vigorous and profane encouragement of a, quote, bullwhacker, a big team of them, oxen, that is, would be chained to a log. Then it would slowly pull the log along a road made of smaller logs half buried in the earth. This was called the skid road, and a lad known as a grease monkey would run along behind the oxen and in front of the logs, greasing the skids with some sort of oil. It was a time-consuming and dangerous way to do it, especially for the grease monkey. And as you can imagine, when they got to an incline and had to pull the load downhill, things could get very ugly very fast. Well, a man in Northern California named John Dolbear had invented a steam-powered cable yarder. And there had also been breakthroughs in locomotive design that had made it possible for trains to go both up and down very steep slopes. Benson engineered a system to use these two innovations in tandem to revolutionize logging operations, getting rid of the ox teams entirely and replacing the wasteful skid roads with narrow-gauge railroad, logging railroad, that could penetrate deeper into the woods than any team of oxen. He implemented this in 1891, and it made him very wealthy. What Benson had invented was a version of ground-lead logging. And although many logging operators came up with the idea independently at around the same time, Benson was the first in Oregon to do so. In 1906, Benson traveled to the very southern tip of the American West Coast and built a sawmill in San Diego, which was at the time just a couple of stores and some houses. He knew Southern California was on the cusp of a huge building boom, though, and he intended to be there with the lumber that folks would need to get it started. There was a problem, though. San Diego could not supply his sawmill with trees. To supply Southern Cali with building materials, Benson was going to need to import timber from his logging operations in northern Oregon. Well, Benson considered loading logs on coastwise lumber schooners, and this was the traditional method of transporting wood. There were several problems with it, though. First, it was expensive. Even with a full deck load, a lumber schooner can only carry a relatively small load, small at any rate relative to the raw material needs of a then-modern sawmill. Second, though, raw logs were dangerous on a ship at sea. As a load, they shifted easily and developed tremendous momentum when they did. Sure, they'd be chained down, but in rough enough weather, chains could break. And finally, some of the logs Benson was getting out of the woods at this time were just too big to fit efficiently in the space available on a lumber schooner. No, another solution was needed. Benson thought he had one, an ocean-going log raft. Nearly everyone thought this was lunacy, and dangerous to boot. But Benson, with his natural engineer's approach, came up with a system that he knew would work. In the quiet waters of Wallace Slough on the Columbia, Benson's team built a mammoth cradle, which looked a little like the ribs of a ship. The cradle was filled halfway with logs of various lengths before the chains started getting put on. One mammoth chain down the middle of the raft from one end to the other, with chains radiating out from it to the outside of the raft, where they were linked to a series of external chains that circled the cigar-shaped mass of logs. The finished product contained up to 6 million board feet of lumber, actually up to 8 million board feet in some cases, held together by 175 tons of chains. Putting the raft together took weeks. A crane operator had to carefully place each log so there would be plenty of overlap to prevent the raft from breaking in two. When the cradle was full of logs, the outside circle chains would be dogged down as tight as they could go, and the finished raft would be released into the river. When released from the cradle, the load would spread out a little bit, leaving the top flat enough to stack cargo on it, and so many Benson rafts actually made the journey with deck loads lashed on board. The finished product was 835 feet long and about 55 feet wide, just over an acre, being slowly pulled down the coast towards Southern California. It was a great success. Simon Benson got to build San Diego. He settled into a rhythm. During the winter, when the storms raged on the ocean, his crews worked in the quiet waters of the slough building the summer's fleet. When the weather calmed down, the cigar-shaped behemoths would start heading out to sea. Out of 120 rafts built, only two were lost to heavy weather. Quote, "If we struck rough weather, the steamer cast loose and let the raft wallow in the trough and the sea till the storm blew itself out," Benson later recalled, according to an article in the San Diego Union Tribune. "Then we reattached the cable to the raft and went on." Benson's mammoth log islands were a familiar sight on the West Coast from 1906 until 1941. In that year, the 120th raft actually caught fire. After that, citing insurance issues, the owner, not Benson, he'd sold his San Diego operations in 1911, the owner ended the era of Benson rafts. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get it all at our central website, which is offbeatoregon.com. There's about 175 columns there going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and links to the Facebook page and the Twitter feed, too, if you want to get in on the conversation online. There's even a link to the Amazon page for my book, Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, which came out this month, and if you haven't checked it out, you should totally do that. I know I'm a little biased, but I think it's great. The website is also where you'll find full citations of sources for this story. Sources for today's episode include Stuart Holbrook, Richard Cranford, and the San Diego Union Tribune's back issues. All these columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details are at offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. That is it for today. So thanks for listening, and have a great day.